When I think of the years that I've been in church, which really has been a large part of my life, being raised, going to church, I think of the many hundreds of people that I have known from when I was growing up to now. And you think of that simple hymn, you know, I've decided to follow Jesus. And there's some that have stayed and have followed. But, you know, I can think as I was sitting there, you know, singing the hymn, think of people that have said that they decided to follow Jesus and they didn't keep doing it. And, you know, it's people, again, that I thought would never, ever, you know, would have ever fallen away, you know, have fallen away. And so don't ever take for granted again your faith. Don't ever take for granted again. Don't ever take it lightly, okay? The enemy is out there to devour the lives of the believers. But interesting, again, as you look at this hymn, the subject matter that we're going to look at this evening. And we're going to look at the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Again, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus are called the pastoral epistles. And the Apostle Paul, again, was no question. Again, as you see, the books that he wrote, he had a love for the Lord, but he had a love for people. And he had individuals, again, that the Lord brought into his life, and the Apostle Paul trained Timothy and Titus again for the work of the ministry, and he left them again to take over some of the works again that he had. But as is the case oftentimes with believers and with servants, again with servants of the Lord, sometimes discouragements come. They don't just come to the people in the pews. They come to the pastors, the missionaries, and evangelists, and people get discouraged. You say, "Well, pastors get discouraged. Why would that?" Well, you know, discouragements come in various ways and differ for different reasons, and so here I believe is one of those cases again in the Word. In the Word of God, and Paul, again, doesn't leave it out. The Bible shows us, again, life, the life of individuals, and whether it was a good time or a hard time or sometimes a bad time, we see, again, the lives of even of the servants of God as they... As the Bible again gives us again a little narrative concerning the lives of individuals. But here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, of course, writing, he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ," in verse 1, "by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which was in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Of course, Paul desiring to encourage Timothy, who was younger, who was young in the, maybe not so much young in the faith. Timothy, as we see in the book of Acts chapter 16, when the Apostle Paul, in his journeys, he comes to the place where Timothy lived, and Timothy again was well known. The Bible says this in the book of Acts chapter 16, then came he to Derbe in Lystra, and behold a certain disciple there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So Paul took him from Derbe and Lystra there, and Timothy again had a good report, as a servant of God, and so he brings him along, and now Timothy has grown such that what? Paul allows him or leaves him again to do what? To pastor a church and to teach again faithful men. And so he leaves him there. But now at this point, he's writing to do what? To encourage him. To encourage him. And Paul says again, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful, he says what? Being mindful of thy tears. I don't know what Timothy was going through. I don't know what he was experiencing. Perhaps discouragement. As you see again, the Apostle Paul tells him again, let no man despise thy youth. He says, don't let him despise thy youth just simply because you're younger. They probably looked at him and wouldn't give him the respect that he was deemed. But Paul says, hey, don't let this get you down. Don't let this discourage you. And sometimes mature Christians can discourage young believers. They can. And, here he comes and he's going to serve the Lord. And maybe, I don't know, again, what transpired, but Paul desiring again to do what? To encourage Timothy in the faith and his walk with the Lord, and reminds him again concerning his faith and the fact that, you know what? You have an unfeigned faith. Your faith, again, was unshakable. It's unmovable. And he says, don't allow again whatever is going on around you to shake you, to move you from that foundation that you have, that you received again from your grandmother and then from your mother. And again, a faith that was well spoken of by those again in Derbe and Lystra. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You know, Paul had laid hands on Timothy, bestowing again to him what? A spiritual gift, again, to do the work that he was called to do. And sometimes what needs to happen? That gift needs to be stirred up. There needs to be a stirring again up of the gift and so that's what he is reminding them to do. But he says in verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's been equipped again to do what? To do the work that he's been called to do. He's saying, listen, you've been equipped to do the work where you've been placed, where you're at. And one of the things, again, that he wants them to recognize is what? You've not been given the spirit of fear. When a believer fears, you can count on this. It's not of God. It's not of God. What is it that dispels fear in the believer? What is it? It's faith. Faith. Faith dispels fear. And so when a believer is fearing, what does that tell us? Our faith is failing. Our faith is weak. Remember Peter? When he walked out on the water, he began to do what? He began to look at the waves. And what happened to him? He began to fear. It was fear. And he says, save me. Jesus, save me. And the Lord took him. But the Lord says, you know, O ye what? Of little faith. Where's your faith? What had happened? Well, he got his eyes off of the Lord and began to look at the circumstances, and he began to fear. That is what happens again to the believer. The believer again, it doesn't matter again, the position that a believer holds. It doesn't matter again, the maturity level again of the believer. Any believer can get to that place of what? A fear. And his faith again can falter. You look here at Timothy, or you look in the Old Testament again at Elisha. Huh? These prophets. Man, these prophets were strong. These were men, again, that were they had the power of God upon them. And he's not afraid to go to who? To Ahab. And he says, hey, you're trouble in Israel. To the king. They could have killed him like that. He wasn't afraid. Why? Because he was trusting God. Oh, but then when Jezebel threatened him, what happened? Now he got scared. Now he's afraid. And so none of us, again, are immune from it. We're not immune if we allow our faith to falter. For God, again, hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what we've been given. And that's how we ought to live. How is Timothy going to overcome? How is he going to go overcome? Well, this is what Paul gives him. This is what he tells him. And that's what we'll look at this evening again. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And we pray that you would, Lord, again, just use your word to strengthen the believers. I pray that you would, Lord, just help us to recognize again the susceptibility, Lord, again, to discouragement. And yet, where it is that it derives from at times. And Father, I pray that we would rest fully upon you. And Lord, just trust you in every circumstance and in all things, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. And we just thank you now. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As believers, again, we are susceptible to discouragements. It doesn't matter who you are. Or what work you're in. There was an individual, and most of you may recognize a name, but he was one of the greatest preachers. He was called the Prince of Preachers. He had one of the largest churches in England. And yet, it is said of Charles Spurgeon that he was given to sometimes fits of depression, discouragement. And no question with a work of that size, the attacks of the devil were probably responsible for that. But nonetheless, you would think, man, a pastor with such a big church, and you know, a man, I mean, there's books and books and books of his messages. I mean, messages that are long messages. I mean, they're good messages. This man was greatly used, again, of God, and he preached the word without reservation. But oftentimes, again, he found himself in places and in times of discouragement. And so it's not uncommon. A believer, again, that is not a wretch. You're not a wretch. But it does help us to recognize that though it happens, it shouldn't be commonplace. It's not a place where you want to rest. It's not a place where you want to be. And a place, again, of fear. Why? Well, because we've been equipped. We've been given everything, all things, again, that pertain to what? To life and godliness, according to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. We've been given everything, again, to live the victorious Christian life. And here Paul, again, desiring to encourage this young servant, this servant, again, whom he had bestowed a gift to, the servant, again, whom he had trusted enough to give him the responsibility of being over, again, a church. But Paul wants to encourage him, and he tells him, again, of the provision which God has made. Recognize, again, these provisions are not from ourselves. They're given to us. And for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That is not that God has not given us a spirit of fear. But he's given to us what? The spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Recognize, again, he's given to us what? The spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we need to be mindful of this, again, when we begin to fear, it ought to put up a red flag, say, hey, this is not of God. This is not of God. This is not of the Lord. This is not, again, right for a believer to fall into this place. And it ought to throw up, again, a red flag. You know, warning signs, lights shining. Wait a minute. What's going on? There's fear. What is it about? Well, it's about a lack of faith. My faith is failing. My faith is faltering, and I'm beginning to look at circumstances instead of keeping my eyes on the Lord. But we're looking at the spirit, again, of what? Of power. That word there, didymus. And again, spirit power. The power, again, of who? The power of the Holy Spirit, which dwells where? Within us. The Lord says what? When he goes to the Father, he's going to do what? I'm going to send you another comforter. He was leaving as a comforter, so he's going to send him what? He's going to send him another comforter. And he shall be with you, and he shall be in you. The Holy Spirit. Again, be prior again to the coming again of the Holy Spirit. the Lord empowered the disciples. What is this power again that he gave to them? And let's look in the book of Luke. The Lord again sends is going to send the disciples out in the book of Luke chapter 10. And as he sends them out, he's going to recognize this, that the Lord does not call you to do a work that he has not already made provision for you to do. If the Lord's calling you to do a work, he has already provided or made provision again for you to do that work. And so just always be mindful. But look at, again, the Bible says here in verse 18, well, look at verse 17, and the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Here again, this is a divine enablement that comes from the Lord. For who? For the disciples. For the disciples. And today we have people again that want to handle snakes. they wanna step on scorpions. Why? Because they're looking at this passage and they said, well, he's given to us the same power. Well, I believe that the Lord can give you that power, but unless you're sure that he has, you better not be messing with the rattler. You better not be messing with the copperhead, okay? Don't be messing with snakes. Why? Because you're going to get bit. And you could die. You don't have a promise. You don't have that promise given to you. Does God have the power again to give that to you? Yeah, he does. But has he? Only you and God know, and you better be sure that it is from God. I don't believe that is a gift again that he gives today. People want to proclaim it, and again, people have died because they believe they have that power to do that. But what power has he given to us? Well, we do have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And when the Lord again was returning to heaven in the book of Matthew, we have the familiar passage in the book of Matthew chapter 28. And he says, what? All power is given unto me in heaven and the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. In the book of Acts, he says what? He tells them to do what? To go to Jerusalem and to tarry there, and they shall receive power. When? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses again unto me. And so we have been given again what? The power to do what? To witness. Through the Holy Spirit of God, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The power to witness. The power again to proclaim. And we get scared. And we get nervous when we go out and we're going to, what am I going to say? What am I going to, what if they ask me a question that I don't answer, know the answer to? You know what you say when that happens? I don't know. I don't know. It's not that hard. You know what keeps us from saying that? Pride. We feel we have to give an answer to every question that man has. You know, I don't have an answer to every question that man has. I really don't. I don't. I don't claim to. And I used to get nervous when people would ask me questions that I didn't know the answers to, I don't get nervous anymore. I just say, you know what? I don't know. I can get the answer for you, but I don't know. I don't know. There's nothing wrong with saying that. We shouldn't be scared, because the Bible tells us again that what? The Spirit again will enable us again to do what? To give an answer. When man asks again, I don't have to recite anything. When an answer is needed, then the Holy Spirit will do what? He'll bring to remembrance. And we'll be able to give an answer. But sometimes people don't want answers to their questions. They just have what? They just have questions because it's a question that they've heard. It's a question they just simply want nothing to do with the things of God. And it doesn't matter what answer you give them, it's not going to be good enough. But we go in fear sometimes and say, oh man, what are they going to ask? What are they going to say? How am I going to respond? Well, guess what? You have the Holy Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God, again, that dwells within us. And through His Spirit, again, we can respond with the answer that we need to give. If we pray and we ask the Spirit to lead us before we go out, then what happens? Then we don't trust the Spirit of God to give us the answer. We try to work it up ourselves. Why don't we simply pray for the Holy Spirit of God to lead us, and then trust that the Holy Spirit of God is going to lead us? He's not given to us the spirit of fear. He says, but what? But of power. The Holy Spirit's power, again, the power of the Holy Spirit has been given to us to do what? To witness. The disciples, again, as they were after the resurrection of Christ, and oftentimes you see the persecution that comes to these servants of God, they suffered persecution, and people would come after them. We have freedoms that they would have loved to have had to proclaim the gospel. But because they didn't have the freedoms, they prayed and asked again the Lord to give them what they needed to proclaim the gospel. In the book of Acts, chapter 4 is such a case here, and we won't read the whole portion, but the disciples have been beat, and now they're released, and they've come together, and now they're ready to go out again. In verse 29 of Acts chapter 4, they're praying. They say, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by thy name for thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? With boldness. What did they pray for? They prayed for boldness. They prayed for the power of the Spirit again, for what? For boldness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not to go in fear, but to go with what? with boldness. Not being afraid of what they were going to do or what the people were going to say or man, what are they going to ask us and we can't answer them. No, they went with boldness again, and the confidence again that comes by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. He says this again to Timothy. He says, Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. He says, and of love. The spirit of love. Agape love. The true love, the divine love, the love of God. For who? Who do we need that love for? Well, the world says the world desires again to have love for who? For self. You need to love yourself. You need to love yourself. It's love of self. It's just amazing again how much the world wants to love itself. How you need to have love for yourself. Well, we're commanded again in the scriptures, and the people of Israel were commanded again to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Commanded again to do what? To love one another. What is, again, as you see the enumeration of the fruit of the Spirit, what do you see? Love? Love? You want to know if you're walking in the Spirit or not? How long does it take you for people to irritate you? Huh? How long does it take you? You see, he's not giving us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love. Of love. Love for God, a love for fellow believers, a love for the lost. Sometimes we find it hard to have love for fellow believers, but a lot of times we find it hard to have love for who? For the lost. Have a love for the lost, and before we witness to them, we want to know, you know, are you a good person or a bad person? Well, they're lost. What are the chances? What are the odds? What are the odds, again, of you being in agreement with an individual that is lost? What are the chances? Very slim. Very slim. The world, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the world's getting darker and darker, is it not? The things that are going on today in the world. Man, you didn't hear about that when you were a child. You didn't hear about it. We used to ride our bikes. We used to ride our bicycles from Donna to Mercedes, which was about 8 miles, I think, you know, between towns, maybe a little bit more, at night. Sometimes we wouldn't get home till about 10, 11, 12. Out riding our bicycles. You wouldn't do that today. I wouldn't think about it today. Wouldn't think about it. Not by yourself. Not without a sidearm. You wouldn't do it. It's a shame. It's a shame that we can't. And yet, we're to have the love again which God has towards the lost. I'm not saying compromise with their sin. I'm saying tell them about the Savior. Love them enough to tell them about the Lord. You want to know if you're walking in the Spirit? Huh? How's your love again for the lost? It's easier for us to do what? To condemn, to look at them and just criticize and put them down again for how they are, for what they do. When in reality, we ought to have the love again of God for them. For God has not given unto us a spirit of fear. He says, Timothy, you've been given the spirit of power through the Spirit. You've been given again the spirit of love, and there was people that stood against Timothy, and whether it was the lost or whether it was the believers again that were being a discouragement, you know what Timothy was to do? He was to love them anyway, regardless of how they treated him. He was to love them anyway. They stood against him, or they made fun of him. Oh, yeah, you young little whippersnapper, we understand, but we're going to, you know what, Timothy perhaps got upset and he was getting discouraged, and Paul says, you know what, he's given to you the spirit of power and the spirit of love, and love them again. Love them regardless again of how they treat you, Timothy. recognize again that the rejection isn't always of man. It's a rejection, again, of the Lord. For God, again, has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, he says, and of a sound mind. Of a sound mind. A believer ought to have a sound mind, make sound decisions. But when our faith begins to falter and we begin to look at circumstances and we begin to make decisions based on what? On the circumstance instead of the Lord's leading and direction. The sound mind. The Lord came into the land of the Gadarenes. Remember that? He comes into the land of the Gadarenes, and there's a man there that meets him. And he's among the tombs, and he's out there cutting himself and crying. And the Lord speaks to him, and he doesn't respond, but the demons do. The demons respond, and they say, "We don't want anything to do with you. We don't want anything to do with you. You're Jesus. You're the Son of God. We don't want anything to do with you." And he's going to cast them out, and so they said, "What? Don't cast us out of the country, but cast us into those swine." And the swine, he gives them leave, and they go into the swine, and the swine go over, and they kill themselves. But the man, again, the man that from whom, again, these demons were cast out, was where? They found him with Christ. Where? In his right mind. Sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Where does worry come from? Hmm? Where does an unsettled mind come from? Where does it come from? Bible says that God is not an author of what? He's not the author of confusion. If God is not the author of confusion, who is? The enemy. He likes to bring confusion. Confusion is the opposite, again, of a sound mind. Thinking clearly. Making clear decisions, having clear thoughts. Remember in the book of Luke chapter 15, that familiar account again concerning the prodigal son, the one that we call the prodigal son? In verse 11 of Luke 15, the Bible says this, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth me. And he divided unto them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Look at this again. As you look at this portion of Scripture, these individuals again were what? They were Jews. You couldn't get a Jew to go work in a swine farm. They're not going to do that. It goes against what? Their belief. It goes against their faith. You see what sin does? It causes us to make decisions that we wouldn't make otherwise. It takes away the ability for us to make sound decisions. When we allow sin to rule, then we act on what? On impulse. On what you and I think is what? Is right. What? I'm following my heart. What will that get you? What do you think he was following at this time? This one was following his need. He's following his heart. Hey, I got to eat. So he puts what? Everything that he was raised to do, every sound thought, where does he lay it? Aside. Why? Because I got to eat. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. The Bible says this, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And we know the rest of the story. What did he do? He came to himself. His mind all of a sudden did what? He came to a place where, you know what? Hey, I need to start thinking straight. Where I'm at is not where I ought to be. There's people again in my father's house that are servants that are living better than me. And we know what he did. What was it? He came. When he came to himself, he recognized, you know what? I need to straighten out my thinking. Believers, again, as we have again, we've been given again, what? The spirit of a sound mind. The Lord told the disciples again that he would send them another comforter and that the Holy Ghost again would what? Would lead them into all truth. He's going to lead you into all truth. We're not making decisions again that come into agreement with the Word of God. Then is it the Holy Spirit that's leading us? Or is it another spirit? We've been equipped again to live a life, to serve the Lord, to do the work that God has called us to do. You and I don't need to fear. You and I, we don't need to be discouraged. We don't need to be afraid when we're confronted again with the task that is before us and say, oh, I can't do that. Why? You know why? Because we've not been given the spirit of fear. We've been given what? The spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't have to fear. I just have to trust. I don't have to be discouraged. I just have to trust. Trust that the Lord has enabled me and he has made every provision again for me to do the work that he has called me to do. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down. Rest in the Lord. Rest in his provision. If your faith has faltered, confess it. All that is not of faith is what? All that is not of faith is sin. And the Bible says that we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. And so let's confess again. Hey, Lord, my faith has faltered. Lord, whatever you'd have me to do, I'm ready to do it. I know you've made provision, and I'm going to rest in the provision you've made for me. Go forward and do the work again that God has called us to do. Don't give up serving. Don't give up doing again what the Lord would have you to do just because you say, well, I can't do it. Actually, once you get to that place of I can't do it, that's probably the best place to be for the believer because we can't do it, but he can. And it's an opportunity again for us to say, Lord, I can't, but you can, and I am willing to be that vessel that you use for your glory. Father, we thank you.